I'm very happy now to welcome Michael Smith. He's president of Santa Fe Gin, and John Witzel, who's president of Smokin' Bocce Taiko. They're here to talk about the Japanese Cultural Festival, which is happening this Saturday, the 20th of April, at the Santa Fe Community Convention Center, pretty much all day long from 10 to 5. Welcome to the Radio Cafe.
Thank you.
Good morning.
So Santa Fe Gin, first of all, we're not talking about gin like vermouth. We're talking about J-I-N. What does that word mean?
It's actually made up of the Japanese Intercultural Network, but that also means in Japanese person. So it's Santa Fe Person, and we're a nonprofit that was founded 2002, and we've been having a cultural festival every year since then. John was with us in the very beginning.
Yeah, we both kind of got started around the same time with the Taiko group, the Japanese drumming. And so we've both grown and have our nonprofit status.
Yeah.
Very nice. So what's happening this Saturday?
This Saturday from 10 to 5 down at the Convention Center, we'll have the Japan Festival. And this year's theme is kimono. And there's quite a few kimono resources here in Santa Fe.
I think John and I were both a little hesitant about the theme this year, kimono. It's like, well, and then it's just amazing how many people have kimono in Santa Fe, how many people are interested in showing them, talking about them. There's such a depth to it in Santa Fe and in the culture of kimono, too. So we're really discovering that and presenting it. There's going to be a fashion show. You'll have the ability to try on a kimono and get a photo on your phone if you'd like. There'll be kimono for sale, affordable kimono for sale. Wedding kimono, it's just amazing.
There'll be a whole exhibit of about 30 kimono on stands, and it would be very educational and a lot of fun.
Yeah. A lot of people own them in Santa Fe, and there quite a few people are going to volunteer to model and show their kimono and talk about there's such depth and interest to the different kinds of fabric, the types of painting, and anyway, we're going to go into all that, and we have an expert coming down from Colorado who has a store called Vintage Kimono, and I think it's 10,000 kimonos that she owns, and she's going to be doing a presentation and a fashion show. We also have other incredible entertainment. There's John and Smokin' Bocce, of course.
Yeah, we're going to be performing at noon, the Japanese taiko.
Tell us a little bit more about that kind of drumming and music.
Well, my background is in rock drumming and stuff, and I was thinking about getting into a marimba group, because there's a lot of marimba groups here in Santa Fe. And I ended up taking a lesson and got hooked right away. So I can say that it's something that grabbed me. And one of the things that grabbed me was it's a full body thing. You're moving around. You're not sitting behind the kit. You're up and dancing around and moving around. And it's really great exercise. And it's very, very stimulating.
And it's primal. I mean, the
primal.
Few times I've
That's
heard
the word,
it's
yeah.
incredible.
You're right. And as far as the technology goes, it's primal too. It's drums, you know, wood, skin, you know, and sticks.
Yeah.
So it's really basic. We don't have any knobs to twist.
like on this mixer right here.
The headliner for the entertainment is Marco Lienhart. And he is a shakuhachi player. That's the very long bamboo flute with the incredibly mellow and meditative sounds. He's a world-class performer. He's performed at Carnegie Hall and literally all over the world. He was in a group called Ondekoza. Now, you may have heard of Koto. They're probably the most famous of the taiko groups. But Ondekoza was a predecessor to Koto. I look at the videos, and they were just an incredible revolutionary performing group because they were so theatrical. It wasn't just about the beats. It's about the stories. and how to convey those. And Marco played with them for 13 years. Now, Marco is not a typical Japanese name because he's actually Swiss.
Okay.
But he lives in this country now. He lives in New York. And he will be our guest performer at 3 o'clock. He's will, of course, play a bunch of different kinds of flutes, and some of us will back him up on the drumming as well.
Excellent. Now, Michael Smith, you are half Japanese. Did you grow up in a very Japanese household?
Well, my family is all actually from Alamosa, Colorado, not very far from here. My mom's, I'm fourth generation American, but they all married Japanese, and so they all stayed Japanese until my mom's generation. I'm half Japanese, and I'm married to my wife, Iba Fukuda. She's the youngest of Shoko's daughters, Shoko Cafe. So my kids are three-quarters Japanese. So we're kind of
fabulous Shoko Cafe,
yeah.
I must say.
Yeah, they're wonderful. And Shoko's still there in the sushi bar every day, cooking away. So my kids are taking, through Santa Fe Gin, Japanese lessons every Saturday. My oldest daughter goes to Monte del Sol, and she's going to go to Japan at 12. I never went until I was in my 20s, but she's going. She's taking Japanese with Sherry at Monte del Sol, and they're going to go on a trip. Santa Fe.
So she can really learn the language.
Yeah.
That's
2 weeks.
To the sister city, isn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah, Suyama, that's right.
Santa Fe has a sister city relationship
nice.
With Suyama.
And so the kids are all going. There's 20 of them going from Monte del Sol. And part of what Jin does also is we give scholarships. And so there's some of the students that have applied for the scholarships, and we'll be presenting those at the festival also, which is very exciting. Santa Fe Jin also is involved with, we formed a separate kind of branch of our nonprofit, which is Japan Aid of Santa Fe. And after the tsunami and the meltdown and all those things that happened in Fukushima two years ago, we formed this organization to help directly from Santa Fe the people of Fukushima. So we're doing fundraising for that as part of this festival. And we've already sent over $40,000 to Japan.
Wow.
To help with recovery. This year we're directly helping get kids out of the radioactive zone on buses to go out to be able to play safely outside on a regular basis. So that's our big project this year. We're also sending 1,000 cranes with our money that we're raising this year.
So yeah. The Japanese Cultural Festival is this Saturday from 10 to 5 at the Santa Fe Community Convention Center. And not only will there be the taiko drumming and the kimono exhibition, but also other performing arts, including the Way of Tea, martial arts, traditional dance, all kinds of good things, and, of course, food as well.
Yes, great food.
Bring an appetite.
Bring an appetite. For more information, you can write to Santa Fe Jin, which is J-I-N, at gmail.com. You can also go to the website santafejin.org. John Witzel and Michael Smith, thank you so much for being with us on the Radio Cafe.
Thanks, Mary Charlotte.
Our pleasure.
I'm very happy now to welcome back to the program George Ancona. He's a photographer and author, and his new book is called It's Our Garden, From Seeds to Harvest in a School Garden. Welcome to the Radio Cafe.
Well, it's great to be here.
And Sue McDonald joins us. She's a school garden coordinator at the Acequia Madre Elementary School, which is what this little beautiful book is about. And tomorrow, the two of them will be at Garcia Street Books at 2 in the afternoon. And then at 3, they're going to take people over to the garden at the school. And then on Sunday, George Ancona will be signing books at the Balloon Museum in Albuquerque at 2 o'clock, sponsored by Bookworks. So lots of stuff going on around this lovely book. This is like, I don't know, are you starting a new genre called documentary children's books?
Well, I started that 40 years ago.
Well, that's true. Yeah. So this is a book about the garden at the Acequia Madre School.
Yes.
How did you come in contact with the school and the garden?
Well, I first heard of schools having gardens, and also the Obama girls were doing a garden at the White House. So kind of, and we are living here struggling to grow things in a garden, and so it was a natural thing for me to poke around. And I decided to see what's happening in the schools. So I visited several of the schools, and when I came across the Sekimata school, it was a lovely garden. It wasn't the vegetables in rows, but you had various beds, a greenhouse. And to see these kids just running around with shovels and wheelbarrows and on their hands and knees and giggling. And the other thing that struck me was right in the middle of the garden was an easel with a huge pad of paper, and kids would just go up and start drawing. Well, as I've been drawing all my life, and I thought, what a natural thing to do. And I started photographing the drawings.
And they would write stuff on there about ladybugs.
The worms. And it was funny to see them poking around the compost heap, pulling out worms.
Williams.
Yeah. Well, that's Brooklyn.
You're from New York.
New York, yeah.
So, Sue, you were one of the people instrumental in really getting this garden going.
I've been very involved over the past 4.5 years, but the original dream of the garden was came from Barbara McCarthy, who just last year retired. That she was a third grade teacher at the school for a long, long time, and her dream was to have a garden at the school. And over 10 years, parents have worked to fulfill that dream, from getting grants for a cistern to putting up a greenhouse to creating an outdoor classroom. And then I volunteered a number of years ago to start coordinating a program and kind of pulling it all together.
And so, I mean, it looks like the kids are having a wonderful time, but above all, they're really learning. I mean, is this integrated into the school curriculum?
It is, and over the years, we just continue to work to integrate it more over time. They're learning a lot about sustainability and gardening and working together as a community, but also, like George said, they're learning about arts and nature. We have a lot of, over the years, there's been a lot of interns and volunteers and parents involved, and everyone who's been involved has, in addition to teachers, everyone who's been involved has shared their particular interest, from, you know, baking in the Orno to collecting and studying bugs and to Adobe work, a lot of variety of things. So, and the kids, we started the program really focusing on wanting it to be fun in addition to being educational.
Well, and as I think all of us might remember from our own schooling or seeing our kids at school and so on, if it's really grim, it's hard to learn. And if it's fun, you just learn effortlessly.
Yeah.
I learned that from Leonard Bernstein. I was photographing him at Carnegie Hall on assignment. And he was doing something by Defier. And he was dancing all over the podium. When he came down, I said, "You look like you're having a ball." And he, "You know something? If it ain't fun, it ain't worth doing."
Yeah, exactly.
And I kept that. I was very young then, but I've kept that in my mind.
Now, George, this book, tell us about the process of making it.
Well, it was, in the beginning, it was sitting on a straw bale and watching everything. And what the kids were doing. I was very impressed when some teachers would bring the whole class out and have their class outside, aside from the garden. And the book started to take shape in my mind, and then I started photographing. And I photographed for the whole growing season, the planting, the summer, and the harvesting, and the book ends with the first snow. And for me, it was a great living experience because it took time. Usually I'll do a book, go someplace and photograph a week, maybe 2 weeks, that tops. But here, this took months. And
yeah, because you had to go with the cycle of the seasons.
Exactly. And as the time went on, the book started to take shape. And the kids began to understand what I was doing. One day, two kids ran up to me and said, "Take our picture." I said, "Okay." I took the picture. "Can we see it?" "No." "Why?" "I'm using film." And I showed the back of the camera. "There's no image there." And they looked at me, "Film?
What's that?"
"What's that?"
We're talking about the book It's Our Garden, From Seeds to Harvest at a School Garden by George Ancona. Now, would the kids also point out to you the real features of the garden that were important that they'd been working on?
Oh, yes. The harvesting. They were harvesting radishes one day and tasting it right then and there.
Yes, there's some cute pictures of a girl tasting
something
radishes.
Right, and making a face. Right. I don't like radishes. But little episodes like that, you can't plan on it. It just happens.
Right.
And I was glad that I was there and just sitting and watching and being part of it.
So the school garden at the Ezequiel Madre Elementary School is now a real part of the life of the school, it sounds like.
Yes, it actually is on the corner of a playground, and so and it's open for teachers use and also for kids to come in and be in it as a sanctuary during the school day for lunches and recesses. And they
Does sanctuary mean they have to be quiet?
No, okay. Definitely not.
Not at all.
I was going to say, that might not work so
No,
well.
Definitely not. It's actually, it's more like a place to explore, a place to be themselves, a place to, look under a rock and find the latest worms and to, the environment that's different than being inside the school. And so we have a lot of, over the years I've had kids out for lunches and we have a 15-minute morning recess lunch time, and it's amazing how much what happens during that period of time. They come in and they bite some sorrel, and they might dig for some potatoes a lot of times they're drawing also, because they're really asked to do art in the garden.
So. Right. So art really springs naturally from having this garden there.
Yes.
That must be nice for you to witness, George.
It was very visual, yes, of course. The other thing that impressed me is the role of the school and the garden in the community, because after-school programs, you had whole families come. Then the young brothers and sisters would be part of it. The parents, grandparents would show up, and weekends there could be cookouts. And the other thing is music. Mm-hmm. I was so impressed when I saw Will McDonald and his son playing music, and a friend came by with a harp, and you have harp music.
Yeah.
And of course, eating.
Yes, can't forget eating.
Yes, the harvesting of the produce and the cooking, using the traditional horno and making pizzas.
So there's so much in this garden, because not only is there the kind of science lesson of growing food and the artistic, but then there's also the heritage part of it with making things in the adobe horno, and then also learning about corn, squash, and beans and our sort of native diet here going back thousands of years.
Yes, the sisters.
Yeah. Yes. All in one little elementary school garden.
Yeah. I mean, the fact that those three products are put together, and this is traditional for hundreds of years.
Yeah.
And kids are doing it today, not here and now.
The book is called It's Our Garden, From Seeds to Harvest in a School Garden by George Ancona. And we're also joined by Sue McDonald, who is garden coordinator at the Ezequiel Madre Elementary School and mother of a young person who just graduated from the elementary school. And George and Sue tomorrow will be at Garcia Street Books at 2 o'clock right here in Santa Fe. And then at 3, they'll be giving a little tour of the garden, which is just walking distance away. It's just right up the block. And then on Sunday, George Ancona will be signing books at the Balloon Museum in Albuquerque at 2 o'clock, sponsored by Bookworks. Thank you so much for being with us on the Radio Cafe.
This was fun.
And congratulations on a wonderful book and a wonderful project.
Thank you.
Thank you.
And I'd like now to welcome Diane Karp. She is Executive Director of the Santa Fe Art Institute and is with us here just about every other Friday speaking of the arts. Welcome.
Good morning, Mary Charlotte.
Good morning,
Santa Fe.
Good morning, Santa Fe. And we're also joined by Michael French, who is author of the new novel, The Reconstruction of Wilson Ryder, and he will be at Collected Works Bookstore tomorrow night at 6 o'clock. Welcome.
Thank you. Good to be here.
So this is a novel about a young man throughout his life, from the time he's small until he's a young adult, who had gotten burned and had his face disfigured. But the reconstruction is not so much physical as a kind of spiritual, and the reconstruction of his sense of his place in the world.
Yeah, very much so. It's about his struggle to become an artist. The term reconstruction has several meanings. It's an art term. It's the opposite of deconstruction. So he learns about the process of art. But reconstruction also means coming to terms with who he is, his disfigurement, and his mother, who is a very famous abstract expressionist, but had abandoned him and the family when he was 3 years old.
So what was the inspiration for the book?
Well, I mean, there's two stories here. One is the thing about disfigurement, and I've always been interested in people who look different and who are either, they look so they're so difficult to look at that you either look away and you say, thank God that's not me, or you kind of wonder, gee, what a terrible thing that is. But you never really get to know them. So their struggle is, how do I express myself if I'm stereotyped?
And then there's this whole thing when he's a kid of, how do you deal with bullies, which is a kind of ongoing contemporary issue that people are really struggling with.
Right, and the first response of any child is to want to fight back. He gets in junior high school, he gets expelled right away. We're fighting with another bully. And his father says, you really shouldn't do that kind of thing. You have to have self-control. But it's very difficult because he has a temper issue and he wants to stand out and he wants to stand up for himself. Eventually he comes to terms with who he is and he finds a deeper peace and he doesn't need to keep fighting with the world.
So you are somebody who's spent your life doing a lot of different things, including writing.
Correct.
What are you doing now? Are you devoting your full time to
I think fixing? So. My wife and I had a real estate firm for 23 years and we sold that about 8 years ago. Before we had the real estate firm, I was always writing. I've written about published 23 books, young adult books, art criticism, gender studies, young adult fiction, and that's what I'd like to go back to now.
Well, Michael French's new book, The Reconstruction of Wilson Ryder, is out and available, and he will be at Collected Works tomorrow night, Saturday at 6 in the evening. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Mary Charlotte.
Diane Karp.
Good morning.
What's going on this weekend?
Oh my gosh, there is so much going on. You know, we go through this kind of quiet stretch when we go through January and February and March, and there's not all that much going on. But man,
I know, we get to the end of our listings.
Yes, but man, there's a lot. And that wonderful interview about the Japanese festival was marvelous, and the conversation with Georgia and Kona is another wonderful thing for all of our listeners to be thinking about doing this week. Tuesday night at 6 p.m. at Collected Works, Winona Hawder is going to be talking about her new book, Foodopoly.
I'm going to have her on the air on Tuesday.
Marvelous. So we can be really quick. But, you know, one of the things that Collected Works does is it provides a real-time, face-to-face conversation with artists, just as the Lannan does, only they do it with the writers on a sort of smaller scale.
That's right.
I recommend on Tuesday at 6 p.m., you guys head over to Collected Works, and you can listen to Mary Charlotte's interview later.
Yeah, on Tuesday morning, I will have her on the air. And speaking of Lannan, there is an exhibition that's opening. There's a reception tomorrow from 5 to 7, and it's called Again, Repetition, Obsession, and Meditation. in the Lannan collection, and it's artworks where those are elements, those things, repetition, obsession, are elements to the artist's process.
So Christy Mizuera Davis, who's the visual arts officer there, has an absolutely wonderful eye. And all of these are works from the Lannan collection. So you'll find a host of contemporary artists who are locals, Susan York, Larry Fodor, and artists of great stature from past history as well. It's always a beautiful exhibition when they do work in the Lannan Foundation. It's only open on Saturdays and Sunday afternoons, but it will be up for quite a while, and I recommend it highly. And kudos goes out not only to the Lannan Foundation, but in particular to Christy Mizuera Davis.
Yes,
and
indeed.
Speaking about the Lannan Foundation, what we know them most for is the readings and conversations. And this Wednesday at the Lensic, they are bringing us David Mitchell. And you will remember David Mitchell probably because of Cloud Atlas, which they keep touting was made into a film. But, man, the book is a million times better than the film.
So I have heard.
Oh, marvelous. But the other book that he's written that is phenomenal that I just finished is The Thousand Autumns of Jacob de Zoet. And again, it's a book that deals with pieces of time and stories that leap through chronology and connect. It's sort of like human history in a very articulate and literary way. So if you can get over there to hear David Mitchell on Wednesday, I recommend that one.
And we have a dog of the week and a cat of the week this week.
Oh, good.
Yep, we have a new...
Are they together?
No.
They're not a pair.
They're not.
That's what I keep looking for.
I'm sure that can be found, but not right now.
I have a dog who thinks she's a cat.
You know, let's talk more about that.
Okay.
In a moment.
Later.
This week's featured cat of the week from Felines and Friends is Ferrari, who was rescued in the Agua Fria area. He's an adorable little male, very sweet and playful, handsome, with short black coat, black and white coat, and black over one eye. If you're interested in adopting Ferrari, you can call...
Is Ferrari the cat or the dog?
The cat.
Okay.
And you can call 505-316-2281 or email askfelinesandfriends@yahoo.com, or you can go to fnfnm.org. FNF stands for Felines and Friends. And then the dog of the week is Shadow, who's a 10-month-old Border Collie Heeler mix who's white with black speckles. And there's this picture of him just sitting so cutely with his eyes and his ears sticking up saying, "Are you taking a picture of me?" And he's about 45 pounds, slim, long-nosed, very energetic. He would be great for an active household who would like to walk and hike and play with a dog. He looks like a very good dog.
What a great combination. That dog is smart as a whip and a little bit stubborn.
How do you know he's stubborn?
But just a Heeler and a Border Collie.
Well, if you would like more information about Shadow, write an email to dgl@dewpaws.org. And DuPaws is DEWPAWS. dgl@dewpaws.org. And there we have our Pets of the Week.
Marvelous. Well, tonight at 6:30, there is a presentation that is really, really unique. It's on the music, culture, and history of the cigar box guitar. And it's going to be presented by Hector Pena, who is an Albuquerque musician of real talent and great humor, good humor. And he fell in love as a kid with blues and jazz, and then at some point saw a picture of a cigar box guitar and decided he needed to find out about it. So he now builds them and he plays them. And he's going to be at a venue we don't usually talk about, at the Primo Cigar Shop,
nice,
which is at 328 Sandoval Street. So there's no charge, and, you know, it'll give people an opportunity to go out and learn about something they probably had no idea about before and get to meet Hector, who is marvelous.
Indeed. The CCA, as we talked about yesterday, is screening the film A Fierce Green Fire, which is a great movie about the entire history and present and future of the environmental movement. And I forgot to mention when he was on the air yesterday that the director, Mark Kitchell, will be doing a Skype Q&A at the screening tonight. So the screening is at 7:15, and the director will be with us by Skype afterwards, and it runs through at least the 25th of April at the CCA.
Shout out to Jason Silverman for being a phenomenal film curator. And the thing that's so fabulous about this film, besides the fact that it is beautiful, is it's encyclopedic. And so it's both the warts and the beauty of the environmental movement. It's definitely worth heading out for. Thursday night, 7:30 at the Lensic.
Encyclopedias have warts?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, you got to look inside the back cover.
Uh-oh.
Thursday, 7:30 at the Lensic is the Monterey Jazz Festival's tour. And it's going to be, if you like jazz, this is going to be one of the high points for the year. Bassist Christian McBride is going to be leading the Monterey Jazz Festival touring band. And it's made up of just brilliant performers. Vocalist Dee Dee Bridgewater, pianist Benny Green, drummer Louis Nash, trumpeter Ambrose Akinmuser, and saxophonist Chris Potter. And that is all going to take place, sponsored by the New Mexico Jazz Festival, Thursday night of this week.
Excellent.
Yeah. Now, a lot to do. And if you don't like jazz and you want to do something a little bit more traditional, this is the week when Sangre de Cristo Sounds is going to be presenting Antonio Apodaca and the Music of Northern New Mexico. This is the Nuestra Música. Sí, and it's going to be 7 p.m. Friday night, tonight, at the Lensic Performing Arts Center. And even if you don't think you like local Northern New Mexico music, you are going to be transported.
You're wrong.
They have people on stage from toddlers all the way up through the senior of the seniors. And the music is, it's really charming and it's wonderful. And I have to tell you, when I first came, I sort of thought, oy. But over the years, I've really come to appreciate the sound of guitars and harmonicas and squeeze boxes. It's pretty sweet.
She thought, oy.
Oy.
So Sharon Harper is a very distinguished and wonderful photographer who has a new book that's been published by Radius Books. It's called From Above and Below. And there is a book event tomorrow from 4 to 6 at Radius Books.
At Radius, yes.
Which is 227.
And Sharon will be there.
Palace Avenue, and Sharon will be there.
And it's a beautiful space. It's one of those environments where you go in and out of all of our wonderful adobe buildings with the vigas and the sort of traditional adobe wall finish. This is a space that, when you walk into it, is so clean and so bright.
You're in
so
San Francisco.
Beautiful. You're in San Francisco.
I know.
Or you're in New York City.
227 East Palace Avenue, Suite W. For more information, radiusbooks.org or 983-4068.
Yeah, these are a group of publishers who have so much taste that it's hard to believe.
Yeah, they're really good.
They are. The books are extraordinary, and no two books look alike. And Sharon's work, which is this series of photographs that trace the movement not only of the stars and the moon, but of other celestial objects through the night sky. On Friday and Saturday at 8, and then on Sunday at 2 at the Santa Fe Playhouse, one of the sweetest spots in Santa Fe, is a one-man performance called Twain Ride. That's called The Report of My Death. And it brings Samuel Clemens, who we know to be Mark Twain, back to life. Actor Michael Graves plays Twain, and it's Twain speaking from the grave. So it's after his death, and he goes into, you know, an exploration of how the world works and how it doesn't work. So I recommend it highly.
And at Collected Works Bookstore, again tomorrow night, Michael French hit with his novel, The Reconstruction of Wilson Ryder. Then Sunday, Journey Santa Fe presents Breaking the Silence, Women Driving Change in the World's Most Challenging Places, with Nima Namadamu, who is in conversation with Cynthia Jures. And they are, all these women all over the world are getting access to new media technologies and just totally changing the world for the better. It's one of those few things that gives me hope.
Yeah, it's one of those realities that if women were running the world, we'd possibly have a much more peaceful, much more copacetic, much more collaborative world. But that's just an assumption.
Well, and you know, people, like, every time I hear somebody say that, there's always somebody who says, what about Margaret Thatcher?
And Golda Meir.
Right.
Well,
and the thing is that if you have a lone woman in the man's paradigm, which is a war-based paradigm, it doesn't work. You have to have at least 30% of us in charge.
Well, maybe 60, but that's okay. There's there's a beautiful exhibition of William Clift's photographs, very, very handsome, very fine black and white photographs at the New Mexico Museum of Art that opens tonight, and it's images of Shiprock in northwestern New Mexico and Mont Saint-Michel. The exhibition was organized by the Phoenix Art Museum, and it's opening tonight at the Santa Fe's New Mexico Museum of Art.
Monday, the Santa Fe Citizens Climate Lobby presents four local authors and artists on climate change and what you can do about it. Ray Marie Taylor, Jack Leffler, Joan Myers, and Lucy Lepard will discuss climate change and offer practical solutions that people can do. And I just realized they're not giving us the times on any of these things.
A lot of them are lacking times, yes.
Yeah, yeah. I think it's Monday at 6 in the evening, and then Tuesday, as you said, Winona Hodder's book, Foodopoly, and then on Thursday, George and Sedina Capanelli's latest book, Do Not Go Quietly, A Guide to Living Consciously with Aging Wisely for People Who Weren't Born Yesterday. And that is on Thursday at Collected Works Bookstore. You can go to the Collected Works website,
and
I'm assuming that
times.
It's all at 6 o'clock.
It may be.
Not the weekend ones, but the weekday ones are always at 6.
They usually are, so I think that's probably a fair assumption. On the weekend, Winning the Future is being presented by Teatro Paraguas, another one of the gems of Santa Fe. I'm always reminded of how rich our cultural offerings are and how diverse our institutions. Teatro Paraguas is over there on Calle Mari, off of Siler Road.
Off of the street that goes by Home Depot.
What do you call that?
I don't know.
All right, off of the
Streets, maybe?
No, off of the street that goes by Home Depot. You're absolutely right. 4 p.m. on Sunday, 8 p.m. on Friday and Saturday. And what they're presenting is the Up and Down Theater Company. Winning the Future is a mixture of political satire, sketch comedy, and musical theater. And they rarely disappoint over there at Teatro Paraguas. Another thing that's happening, and that's this weekend. On Thursday, the Signum Quartet is going to be performing at the presented by the Santa Fe Concert Association at St. Francis Auditorium at 7:30 p.m. And they're going to be playing Haydn and Joseph Suk, and they're presenting Schubert's Quartet in D Minor, which is The Death and the Maiden. Really fine, high-level music. So I recommend that you call Tickets Santa Fe at the Lenzic or go online and see if you can check out some really high-quality chamber music.
The Street Homeless Animal Project is calling for potters, artists, and anybody else who would like to donate a handmade or hand-decorated dog bowl or cat bowl for their silent auction, which is coming up on the 18th of May.
I have a fish bowl.
A dog bowl.
I have a fish bowl.
Well, that's good, but you can get a dog bowl and then hand-paint it, or if you're a potter, you can make a dog bowl or a cat bowl, and then you donate it to their silent auction, which is, like I said, on May 18th. The bowls are due by the 30th of April, so call Karen Kane to work out how to drop the ball off the bowl, or she'll pick it up, whatever. And her number is 505-501-4933. And Karen Kane is a force of nature. She goes
That's
around.
That's an understatement.
And basically, all these homeless folks who have animals, who have dogs, she helps their dogs get veterinary care, spay neuter, vaccinations.
Provides them with food, some of them with bedding.
Food.
Yeah. She's phenomenal.
And they love her.
And a lot of the homeless people who do have pets will not go to any of the shelters because they can't take the pets in.
That's right.
So it really is filling a gap that is an essential one for Santa Fe. The Santa Fe Music Alliance, which is a nonprofit organization of musicians, professionals, music lovers, is presenting its Spring Fling. It's going to be at Warehouse 21 on Saturday from 6:30 to 10 p.m. And I recommend that it's going to present such a diverse range of music. It should be great fun, and I recommend that you head over and check it out.
I got an email from Jelan Spitzmiller, who is one of the filmmakers who made this lovely film, new documentary, Still Dreaming, and also made that film Shakespeare Behind Bars. Tonight, as part of the Santa Fe Shakespeare Society's third annual Shakespeare birthday celebration, they'll be screening excerpts of that film and the full version of Shakespeare Behind Bars. That's at 7 in the Q&A. That's at 7 o'clock tonight, and it's at the Forum on the campus of the Santa Fe University of Art and Design. For more information, info at sfshakespeare.org, or you can call 505-490-6271. And they are very good documentaries. It's a beautiful film. So did you remember that when they made the filmed people who are in a nursing home for retired actors?
Yes.
Doing Midsummer Night's Dream.
Yes. Yes. It was absolutely wonderful. Tonight, if you're not in the mood for Nuestra Musica or Hector Peña and his cigar box guitars, Ona Tejera, who is a singer and songwriter and multi-instrumentalist, is going to be performing at Gig. So that'll be at 7:30. Excuse me, 7:30 tonight. Another kind of musical presentation. Another thing that's happening today at 5 p.m. is a performance of Hear, Hear, Happiness, which is part of the Art and Happiness Day Parade. At 5 p.m., there people will be assembling at the Plaza Bandstand. It will be associated with refreshments, which always brings out the crowd. And I think it is something that people will want to think about going out. Art and happiness. One of the things that we don't talk about much in life is happiness in light of all the horrible stuff that's going on, but we need to remember it.
Yes.
Another thing that's going on today is the benefit dance and concert in support of the homeless. It's called Need and Deed, and it will have all sorts of performing artists like Isamia Faga and some of the local bands. And it will open at 6:30 p.m. tonight at El Museo Cultural. And you can either bring canned goods or you can pay to get in. But it's really an important local organization to help support the homeless.
Now, did you talk about winning the future?
I did.
Okay, thank you.
I did. We can always talk about it more.
No, very, very sweet satirical comedy.
Yes, very sweet. And it's at Teatro Paraguas,
yes,
which is one of the places that I love most. The Baca Street Pottery is going to be doing something on Saturday, which is one of my favorite things. They're doing a kiln unloading. So you can go over to Baca Street Pottery, and you can actually watch them open the kiln and take out the work. And they have an exhibit of the work of the potters that work there. They're going to have a sale, and it'll run from noon to 2 p.m. So check that out.
Pottery is so primal.
Pottery is so primal, and it seems to be one of those things that crosses almost all cultures. So
it's true.
And
you talked about Shiprock.
I did.
Okay, just checking.
On Saturday, Enjoy, there's a salsa dance band and complimentary dance lessons that are going on from 8:15 to 9 p.m. with music at La Tienda Performance Space.
Yay.
Out in El Dorado.
Salsa.
And we want to give them a shout-out because they've been doing a lot of wonderful things, and we're always happy to plug salsa.
And La Tienda.
And La Tienda. Well, La Tienda is the one that's doing all the great work. The Seventh Wave Choir, Dejun Dejun, Soriba Fofana, Reggae Jam with MJ Evans, and Dance Party with DJ Liberty at the Rail Yard Performance Center on Saturday night, 7 p.m. Check it out. Groove with your neighbors.
Now, guess what's happening at the dog park tomorrow? It's the big cleanup. So you can go and help clean up the dog park, and there's a little picture of a doggy with a broom and dustpan. It's tomorrow morning from 9 to noon, and the barrels are getting full, and people can go and help clean up the dog park, and they can bring, let's see, there'll be donuts and there'll be coffee and good things like that. So just show up at the dog park, which is off of Camino de las Cruzitas, and it's the most wonderful place. I go there almost every day of my life.
No? And I'll bet you take your dogs.
You know, that too.
Yes. One Saturday night, for all of us who love what the Lensic does and think Bob Martin walks on water and glows in the dark, we have an opportunity to support them. On Saturday night, it's dinner on stage at the Lensic. It's their fundraising gala that supports all of the events that they do, many of which don't make money, some of which lose money, but they present the diversity of culture and the arts that Bob is so brilliant in bringing, and it's going to be their fundraiser. So if you have the yen for an evening of David Geist on piano and singer Sharon McKnight and cocktails and a dinner that's paired with various wines and live and silent auctions, a pretty lively night, get in touch with LACQUAVIVA@lensic.org, or you can call 988-7050 and tell them you want to come and support them. And if you don't want to go to the fundraiser, just send them some money. Become a member of the Lensic.
And you talked about the event tonight at El Museo.
I did.
So you're a step ahead of me in all of these things.
No, we're right in step. We're all working together.
Issa Nyafaga.
Need indeed.
Issa Nyafaga. I love the, because he does these performances, like there's music, and then he paints himself, and he paints canvases, and it's this whole painting performance. I just love that stuff.
It's pretty wonderful, and Issa is one of those people who has added immeasurably to the culture and the life and the energy and the vivacity of Santa Fe.
Talk about force of nature.
Force of nature. There is a man who, I mean, we brought him as an emergency resident to the Santa Fe Art Institute for 3 months. I think it's now 4 or 5 years ago, and he has really added to Santa Fe as he's decided to stay. Earth Day celebration.
Yay.
Saturday the 20th will include a green and sustainable business expo, giveaways, dance performances, music, and it's going to be at the Genoveva Chavez Center from 9:30 a.m. on Saturday to 2 p.m. So if you want to get involved in ways that you can support Earth Day, which happened in Philadelphia at Fairmount Park when I was still a youngin. I was there for the very first Earth Day, and I have to tell you, for all of the energy that we put into Earth Day, we continue to just destroy the Earth. So let's get out there and raise our awareness and our consciousness and do what we need to do to support the stability of the Earth and our environment.
You know what it would take to do that? Money out of politics.
Oh, God, money out of politics, please.
It's not.
It's like the gun.
Doing
the
it
gun
is
vote.
Nearly impossible, but the thing that needs to be done is so very simple.
Yes, I know. Okay, Sunday, the Friends of the Wheelwright Museum are presenting a lecture. So if you guys have been following Project Runway, you have been following one of our local designers. She's a native artist. Her name is Patricia Michaels, and she's from Taos Pueblo. She's going to be discussing her work, and there will be refreshments. So you can stop off at the Wheelwright Museum of the American Indian at 2:30 p.m. on Sunday and get to hear Patricia Michaels and get to see one of the most beautiful small museums. It's really a jewel box and a gem of quality presentation.
And it's time to go.
Oh, my gosh.
I can't believe it. I still haven't done anywhere near all of my listings, but, you know, you'll have to check out the Pasatiempo. That's all I can say.
And you can get the reporter.
You
can call, go online. There's so much going on this week, and you absolutely have to have the opportunity to get there. But just let me mention, Thursday night, Santa Fe Art Institute's having its open studio.
Yes.
Wonderful writers and artists. Come and meet the people who often end up staying and changing Santa Fe.
And we will talk about that next week as well. Diane Karp is Executive Director of the Santa Fe Art Institute, is with us just about every other Friday. Speaking of the arts, it's time to go. You've been listening to the Santa Fe Radio Cafe. My name is Mary Charlotte. We're streaming live on the web at ksfr.org, podcasting. at santafe.radiocafe.org. Thanks to Dot Foil Computer Services. You can subscribe to the show on iTunes. You can find us at facebook.com/radiocafe. My email is radiocafe@ksfr.org. Please feel free to write anytime you want. Stay tuned for the BBC, followed by local news by KSFR's award-winning news team. And after that, Jazz Etc. with Helga Ancona. Hasta la vista.
And goodbye.
Have a great weekend.
You bet.
Adios.
Have a good week.